call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council on Monday, May 18th, 2015. Would you all please stand and rise with us for a moment of silence for Chuck Langley? Chuck was a longtime volunteer in our fire department, serving, I believe, all positions, including fire chief, and he recently passed away. Thank you. Please remain standing. And I don't see our student. Is our student not here tonight? Okay. So let's see. Mayor Pro Tem Lee, would you like to lead us in the flag salute tonight?
I'd be happy to. If you'll join me and place your hand over your heart and begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. City Clerk, when you're ready, roll call.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, will you cover our closed session announcements?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, at the last Council meeting on May 4th, if you recall, first item was pulled and Council met in closed session on three items, first one being existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley. Water litigation, second one, labor negotiations, and third one, conference with real property negotiators pertaining to the Pacifica companies and the lodge lease. There were no reportable actions taken by the council in closed session.
Great. Thank you, City Attorney. So let's move on to our agenda review. This is an opportunity for the council to review the order of business as presented by staff in the staff report. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, there is a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we are not making any changes to the agenda. There are extra copies, I believe, on the table to our right. So let's move on to our ceremonial calendar tonight. And the first is a proclamation declaring May 17th through the 23rd, 2015, as National Public Works Week. Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
I'd be happy to read this. And is Mr. Ray going to accept the proclamation on behalf of the city? Or is, very good. Come on. Then I will read the proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring May 17th to the 23rd, 2015, as National Public Works Week. Whereas public works services provided in our community are an integral part of our citizens' everyday lives. And whereas the support and understanding of informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems and programs, such as water, sewers, streets, public buildings, and solid waste collection. Whereas the health, safety, and comfort of the community greatly depends on these facilities and services. Whereas the quality and effectiveness of these services, of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction, is vitally dependent upon the efforts and skill of public works officials. And whereas the efficiency of the qualified and dedicated personnel who staff public works departments is materially influenced by the people's attitude and understanding of the importance of the work they perform. Whereas in 1962, President John F. Kennedy designated the first National Public Works Week to pay tribute to our public works employees for their substantial contributions to our national health and welfare. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby proclaim the week of May 17th to the 23rd, 2015, as National Public Works Week. And it calls upon all citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved in providing our public works services and to recognize the contributions which public works officials make every day to our health, safety, comfort, and quality of life.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If I could ask the Public Works Director to come forward and introduce Raymond, who will receive the proclamation.
Okay, very good. Mr. Ray.
Thank you, City Manager and Honorable Mayor. Raymond Hernandez, our City Public Works Employee of the Year, is here to accept the proclamation on behalf of the Public Works Department.
Raymond? Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item number two. This is a proclamation of appreciation to former Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commissioner DeSantos. And I see Dee out in the audience, so I'm going to read this. This is a proclamation of appreciation presented to DeSantos for service on the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, and it reads, whereas the Park and Recreation and Beautification Commission acts in an advisory capacity to the City Council on all matters pertaining to parks, public recreation, and to cooperate with other governmental agencies and civic groups in the advancement of sound park and recreation planning and programming. And whereas Ms. Santos was first appointed by the City Council to serve on the commission on July 20, 2009, reappointed on September 16, 2013, and has served continuously until April 2014. And whereas Ms. Santos has unselfishly dedicated untold time, effort, and personal resources for the betterment of the Grover Beach community. And whereas Ms. Santos has been instrumental in providing creative ideas for all Park and Recreation Department special events, including the creation of the Plant Exchange as part of the Spring Garden Tour. And whereas Ms. Santos has stated that her proudest moments have been meeting Grover Beach residents and business owners who recognize and honor them for home and business beautification efforts, being a liaison to the community and working as a team with the commission members, and that her happiest memories will always be seeing the joy and delight on children's faces during the Holiday of Lights decorating contest with Santa and Mrs. Claus. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council does hereby recognize and commend Ms. DeSantos for her volunteer service on Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission. So, Dee, would you like to come forward? Did you want to say a few words?
Always.
I know.
Yeah. I just want to say that this has really been a privilege. It was a lot of fun serving on this particular committee because it was mostly fun and making projects in the city that I live in. And all the people and the kids, it's so fun to see them at the skateboard park, at the parks themselves, using our parks in a good way. Parents who really can't afford to rent things, they use our parks and stuff. And I really appreciate you, the council, for going over about the fees and the uses of the park. It's you have to remember the little people and who uses it and that, and we need to protect our parks. And there was the small park where the seniors live. They do use it, and they so appreciate that. So I want you all to know that. And Raymond and Robert and all those guys out there, I call them the Blue Crew. Thank you for keeping up those parks. It means a lot. It means a lot.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And then also I want to say, I was going to bring you little plants, but I forgot. Anyway, when it comes time for the plant exchange and the road beautification, please stop by at 850 Atlantic, because this year I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to have the history of Grover City to Grover Beach. And you'll see some of the buildings, some of the streets, a lot of things that aren't here, that weren't here, but there. But anyway, it's great. So you'll see a lot of different things and pictures and newspaper clippings and so forth. So, already.
Great. Thank you, Dee. Okay, let's move on to our public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. Council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. So I do have one speaker request form, and that's from Ken Lehman. So Ken, please come forward.
I'd like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk, and I'm glad I live in America where I can talk. I came once before with reference, and I did not see the gentleman about the election that we had on the roads. And I did go down to the county clerk when I got back from an extended vacation in Europe, which, again, I'm blessed in order to do this. And at the same time, I'm blessed to live in Grover Beach because it's a wonderful area to come back home to. It's a beautiful place. And I've been a beach person my whole life. And unfortunately, Point Sal, I can't go to anymore. I used to surf there when I was young, and it's over. But I'm here in Grover Beach, and I moved here because it was a small town. And it was a nice town. And the election on the roads, of course I want to fix the roads for everybody else. But I hope the residents get their roads fixed as well. Because downtown, I see a lot of stuff going on. And a lot of roads are being fixed, and we just got a $50 million bond, and that's good. I'll be paying $10,000 or more dollars in the 40-year loan, and I probably won't make 40 years, and probably hardly any of us will either. So it'll be 20 years, and it goes up to the peak. So I'll be paying my fair share. I like to see the residents in Old Town, up by the hill, by the beach, by the butterfly park. I like to see their roads fixed as well. Right now, we got the kiosks being fixed. $10 to go in for the camp. $5 to go in. I was hoping that we could raise that and help take the cost off the property owners. Because the property owners are going to be paying. I don't rent, so I can't pass it on. I don't have a business, I can't pass it on. So I'm hoping that the council will entrust you with this money and not to move it places and use it for the roads and use it for the community that needs it. The old town, the people, they're paying the property tax. Okay, and the next issue real quick, and if I go over 3 minutes, just tell me, because I have a hard time speaking anyhow, as you can tell. I'd rather be at the beach. I'd rather be at the gym. I'd rather ride my bicycle. As I was riding my bicycle the other day, another issue I have, because on the 4th of July, I'm always cleaning up. After the 4th, the fireworks. I'm one of those citizens that goes out there, and that's my beach. I clean it up. And the other day, may I come up and approach you with this picture?
Sure, absolutely.
So I was riding my bike.
Thank you.
And if you know where the golf course, by the golf course, is where they dump their stuff, the campers that come from the valley, and they dump their stuff. There was water. It was running on the tap when I drove by my bike. There's four taps there. It just, we talk about water shortage in this town, and now that's the next thing I had to deal with. I'm gonna tear out my front yard. I'm doing my part, like a lot of citizens. I see a lot of yards dying, a lot of people changing their yards, because we know this, how vital it is to save water. There was water being just flushed when I went by, I turned it off. There's four spigots there. I entrust that the council will address this to the state of Pismo Beach. But I believe that's our water. It's the same groundwater we get from everybody. And that could just be tapped on by a kid. And just this, you know, we know what's going on in the world. So I wish someone would be entrusted to keep an eye on that water. And if we're going to use that water, why don't we might as well have a couple of almond trees next to it. I mean, I'm done.
Thank you, Ken. No. We appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't have any other speaker requests from. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
You got one more, and you'll have me till the day I die. I wish we had a roundup this weekend, 3 days.
I told the guys, I said, boy, I wish the hell Army had never sent me out here and discharged me, because I pulled up at the Oak Park, and it was 18th Street and Grand. 1,000 people live here. It's county. Boy, this is a place to go to. Look at it today. You know, I'm sick and tired of getting this. All that is the harassment. And the reason why you're doing that is because of the junkyard down here. If you go across country 23 times like I have to Dayton, Ohio, you'll hear the truck drivers talk about motels and hotels and junkyards, because that's cars and stuff parked around. You know, I've been here too long, I know. But 1990, the city council, a different one over here, decided it was going to have a mandatory moratorium on building stopping houses. They had too many developers and contractors, so we went over to Trueville. And those five guys sat there, I don't remember who was here at that time, but they had mandatory moratorium, stop building. We only had half the population then that you have now. And the lake out there was over 40% at that time. But 2 years of drought. Now we're in 4 years. Tonight, Cal Poly's got a problem. Your supervisor, not mine, he's stupid, is going to try to get the water from the desalting plant out there. You know, it's a mess. But then you, an engineer, them, and a million gallons of water are going out down to Oceania. Now then you're going to put this junkyard in, and now all that water's going out. And you want me to turn my water off. You know, you're not qualified to sit there, and you're not qualified to sit there if that's the way you're going to treat us senior citizens and the people that are on, you know, hard times and their health and welfare. That's not what I went to Korea for. And by God, I want that changed. You're not going to treat these people and take their water away from them and their health and welfare for that junkyard. I called the supervisor this morning. I know Debbie Arndt. And I told her I can't go up there tomorrow because I had too much going on. And I want her and them to talk about this stuff because it's important. And if you don't save this water, they're saying already, the 2 weeks ago when I went to Visalia to sell cattle, they're saying the ground is hollow underneath. It could be like someplace there in Florida a few years ago where it just collapsed. This guy I bought hay from Blythe, he said, well, the Colorado River ends there. Yeah, I know that because I've been across it. I've seen it. But he says, well, L.A., San Diego, Phoenix pulls it, plus the farmers. Now then, they say the farmers, they're going to have to put water meters. If we're going to put water meters, then they better put water meters on Grover Beach and mandatory building of houses. So, you know, I just got tired of stuff. So I called my attorneys from San Francisco that beat Dodge when I got run over, and I told them, I want to go to the California Supreme Court, and I want to find out how damn dumb I am or if I do have some common sense. And I told them, if they find that I'm right, then I want a clean house, and anybody that's on retirement loses it. I didn't serve my country, and I don't think anybody else did, for politicians to screw us over. And that's what you're doing to the old people. You took money people.
John, I need you to wrap up.
I know. To keep the doors open here in 2012. 23 times I've gone across. There's a Walmart, no grocery store, no drug stores, no small business, no new car showroom. But I went to 16 city, county meetings from here to Dayton, Ohio. They're all in bad shape, but they never had their doors closed on Friday.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close public communications, bring it back to the council. Let's see. We don't have any public hearings tonight, so let's move on to consent. And our consent agenda is where we take routine items, and they're considered as a group. And we have, looks like, five items on consent tonight. The first is the Treasury report for the period of April 29th through May 12th, 2015. The second is a Treasury report, which is the street bond account measure K-14. And this is for the period of April 29th through May 12th. The third is the minutes of the regular meeting for the City Council on May 4th, 2015. The fourth is authorization to implement a paid sick leave policy pursuant to AB 1522 for part-time employees and establishing an accrual method. And then the final is authorization to enter into an agreement with John Peters for position of police chief. Do any members of the council want to pull any items from consent?
I don't need to pull any items, but we do have a revised item for the treasurer's report for the street bond amount.
And I can't see what the difference is, so maybe we could just find that out.
Yes.
If I could, Mr. Mayor, actually, the original report had an extra zero, and it appears as if we had $50 million in that account, oh, in that fund, rather than
gotcha.
Five. I would rather that it was the 50, but unfortunately, it's the five.
Very good.
Thank you.
Here
it is.
Okay.
We were so close.
So I did want to pull item number seven to have a little discussion on that item. And then I don't have any speaker request forms. So I'll be looking for a motion on consent agenda items 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I'll make that motion.
Very good. We have the motion by Councilmember Wright.
I'll second.
Where? You got awesome. A second by Councilmember Shaw. And this is roll call. Donna?
Yes.
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 And that was as modified, correct?
As modified, that's right. So item seven, we will... Okay. So item seven we'll consider after number eight, because it is customary that if we pull an item, we put it toward the end of the agenda, but that's really just moving it one space below item eight. So then let's talk about item number eight. This is consideration of an agreement between the city and the Royal Grande Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce for the Stone Soup Music Festival Street Fair. Public.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll give a quick summary report.
Okay. City manager.
The city and the Arroyo Grande Chamber of Commerce have been co-sponsoring the Stone Soup event for numerous years. Just by way of history, originally the event was a city event, and several years ago, it was contractually the obligation to provide that event was actually transferred to the Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce. Under that same contract, the city was obligated to provide a number of support services. These included largely public works items, signage, additional law enforcement as may be necessary. When the two entities merged, that contract in essence went away. And so consequently, staff is recommending a contract to memorialize what we have been doing for the last couple of years and to permit those support activities to continue as a way of sponsoring the event. So that's essentially what this item is about. Kathy Pecker is here, as well as the police chief, in the event you have any specific questions of us.
Very good. Any questions of staff? Mayor Pro Tem.
Just one with regards to several weeks ago we had the special use event ordinance, and I realized that this being a city-sponsored event would be exempt from that,
right.
if that's my understanding. Is there any changes to the format of this event to more that would be necessary as the special event ordinance potentially comes back? I mean, is there any tweaking that we need to do with this event, either from the chamber side or the city side, that we should either be doing tonight or as part of the special event ordinance?
I understand that what you're really asking, since the special event has not come back, it might in some way direct certain conditions. At this point, just a reminder, it is exempt, and it is not contemplated to have any direct impact on the Stone Soup event. I will mention that there is a committee that will annually look at event, and that committee is composed both of staff and chamber members, and we will have the ability to modify through that committee if that action is necessary.
Okay, Councilmember Shaw.
I had one comment then slash question. One of the members of the chamber, Duke Sterling, and I were talking about the event. And, you know, one thing that's so amazing about the event is it brings so many people into town. But when you walk up to Grand Avenue, there's usually still nobody really on Grand Avenue using our businesses. And we were talking about, well, what are ways we could kind of get people to Grand Avenue? And I know we have a really good footprint for the festival. And I was wondering, though, if it would be possible to, hopefully for this year, get at least part of the event maybe to the front lawn of Rabobank or just something that would move people toward Grand Avenue. So at least you'd see people walking up down there, maybe grab a pizza for lunch if they wanted to sit down instead of being at a food booth. I just don't know if we're reaching our potential of getting people to the businesses. So I was wondering if it's not too late, if the committee could consider a footprint that would get people a little bit to our businesses.
City Manager?
Mr. Mayor, I would suggest that potentially Judith, the executive director from the chamber, is here and has been more directly involved with the planning of this year's event and might be able to answer that.
Ms. Bean.
Honorable Mayor and members of the council, actually, we have talked about that intersection. Typically, we've had the fire department there, and we realized that you can't see the stage, and so that we've talked about doing some children's event or something at the end to make it more visible, and we're also pumping up the signage this year so that, you know, people know event this way.
Yeah.
So, so hopefully we'll have something exciting to share with you in the next month or so.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah? Okay. Very good. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to address this, the item before the council?
Being the antique of the place. Years ago, when we did do events there, we used to have a watermelon eating contest between the mayors and stuff there on that lawn that would bring things. You know, you have to think of things. And you could even do the chili cook-off or whatever there. So it would draw people and help us businesses downtown. So those are just some of the suggestions. And I have pictures if you need be. But, you know, there's different things if you think about it. And I'd be glad to help you guys that bit.
Yeah. Thank you, Dee.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you have to stop and think, anytime there's children involved, parents will come.
That is so true. Is there anyone else that would like to address the item before the council? Okay. So with that, I'm going to close it to the public, bring it back to the council. Bob, I do have a question regarding a blanket business tax certificate. Is that, will still be required of the chamber?
Yes. And the reason that we've approached it this way is that just from a methodology point of view, it seems to work better. In this way, we end up collecting a single amount from the chamber for each of its vendors rather than collecting an individual amount from each vendor. It was just getting a little complicated to administer in that way.
So then with this blanket permit, I mean, would they need to list out the vendors? Is that what you're...
Yeah, they do, and then there's a true-up at the very end of the event to make sure that everything's been covered.
Great. I mean, I think that's a great thing to look into, to move towards. That's awesome. And then under the fiscal impact, I see it talks about the estimated cost will be under $5,000, but I see a statement like that, and I go, well, what's the basis? So... Someone want to just,
you know, as best we could, we estimated what the overtime is by a public works crew primarily, and out actually place putting in place the signage. They do the Public Works crew does maintenance on an ongoing basis, mm-hmm. takes care of the park and facilities on an on-call basis. And I will say the police department generally flexes their hours, so there is very little overtime actually required of the police department. Most of the police department we actually see, they do go through the event very, very certainly, but most of the, during the Friday before, or the Saturday of the event, it's associated with the Dune Run Run, which is really a, still a city event and not a chamber event. It's just run at the same time.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm against it. I just want to make sure that we're accurately accounting for those services that are provided for this event, and I think that's really why I was asking that question. So I don't have any more questions. If there's anyone else that has questions, if not, I'm prepared. I'm open to a motion on this item.
I have one more shameless marketing question. So, can you remind everybody what the date is for the event this year?
That is shameless.
August 22nd, 23rd.
So August 22nd and 23rd. Contact
right.
the chamber if you're interested in a
yes.
booth.
Yep.
Okay. And with that, I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution to enter into an agreement with the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce for the Stone Soup Music Festival and Street Fair, and authorize the mayor to execute the agreement on behalf of the city.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no discussion on the motion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. So let's move back to item number 7, and this is authorization to enter into an agreement with John Peters for the position of police chief. Bob, did you want to give a brief staff
yes,
report on this?
I'll give a brief staff report. As council is aware, technically former police chief Jim Copsey has officially retired. His official retirement was actually at the end of December. He agreed to stay on as our interim chief through the end or the 1st of June in order to allow us to recruit a replacement. And he's been serving in that capacity until the replacement has been found. In terms of the recruitment, we focus the recruitment for police chief. Obviously, this is a very important position for the community. We focus the recruitment on the west coast of the United States. We use the assistance of the former assistant city manager, Alicia Lara, from Santa Maria. She actually has tremendous human resources background and assisted us with this recruitment. As a result of the recruitment, we ended up narrowing the pool to 4 individuals whom we determined to be qualified and had interview by 2 panels. The panels consisted of both a community panel and a technical panel. The community panel was made up of individuals, obviously, from the community. The technical panel was actually either retired or currently serving police chiefs, and they took it from the professional point of view. And then in addition to that, the current police chief, as well as a police officers association representative, actually proctored those panels. As a result of those panel interviews, I met with the entire group, and it was very clear to me that Mr. Peters was head and shoulders above any of the other candidates. I subsequently interviewed him myself and found that to be very true. He has strong leadership capacity. He has 21 years in the law enforcement business, ever since he was a kid. And So consequently, I feel very comfortable in making this selection. As noted in the government code, the city's municipal code, the city manager is responsible for making this appointment. But in addition to that, the city is being recommended to enter into an employment agreement. An employment agreement is not unusual for an individual of this stature. It essentially, this is an at-will position, and thus the individual is subject, can be terminated for cause or without cause by the city manager. And the agreement outlines various other conditions, salary, et cetera, for the employment. The severance paragraph that you find included in the document, it's not unusual, again, to have a severance paragraph included in a document. They extend from 3 to 12 months, depending on the position. The purpose of the severance section is to address the fact that the city manager can, in fact, terminate the individual without cause, and consequently serves as perhaps a little bit of insurance relative to that kind of an action being taken. That does not neglect or negate the fact that the city manager can also terminate the police chief for cause. And the rest of the document, as I've said before, outlines conditions, various conditions of employment. And so I'm recommending that the council proceed and authorize the city to enter into this agreement.
Very good. So the reason I pulled this item, and it's certainly not to say I'm in support of the recommendation of Mr. Peters for this position, but I believe that given that this is a new individual moving into this position, and I know that the city manager has talked about potentially retirement in the future, one thing that continues to come up, and this is dealing with the issue of severance, so anyone probably is wondering why he spoke specifically to severance, because I had asked that question. So, city attorney, I just want to make sure, does the council, what kind of authority does the council have with respect to this particular component on this agreement? Because I know that obviously the city manager has the authority to hire this individual, and this agreement's before us tonight.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, council members. I think that the extent of your authority in this regard is strictly budgetary. So the reason contract is before you is because that is basically an allocation of funds issue. And as the city manager stated, this is fairly regular in these type of contracts, especially when you're dealing with an individual who, assuming things don't work out for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
Has a certain period of time that he needs to get back into a personal position, for lack of a better word. I think as structured, and we participated in negotiating the package, he has an opportunity to do that, and it allows him to have a little bit more time to find a new job.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I just have a real, like I said, it's something that I just wanted to make sure that we were having this discussion and that the community was aware of it, because to me, the way this reads is it's really a 9 month severance, and it's not 6 months. And if you don't find something, you get a big check for 3 months. So we're going to be positive that everything's going to work out. But I just think as a fiduciary responsibility for us to at least have this conversation. And so that's why I wanted to at least have some conversation. So any questions from other council members? Mayor Pro Tem Lee?
Just one question. Not having been here when our current chief was brought on board, do we have a similar or the same contract with our current chief?
We have a severance agreement. It provides for I believe, 3 months of severance at the present time. But remember, that was negotiated 10 years ago.
Good question. Any questions to my left?
I do.
Councilmember Bryant.
No, I do. I didn't before, but I do now. So then, in your experience and in yours as well, Martin, would you say that this is a standard 9 months is standard in contracts of this nature?
I think a severance package is standard. The extent of it varies, as the city manager identified. It is not unusual to see 12-month severance, decelerating severance packages that decrease to 6 months after 10 years. And there are various formats. I have not seen a 3-month severance package at this level, either department head or city manager, for probably about 10, 15 years. And it's just they just simply are not proposed at this level. So this is certainly within range. I couldn't tell you that, you know, this is a standard. Every single contract has something like that. But every single contract I'm aware of does have a severance package that now the ones I've seen vary from 6 to 12 months.
Thank you.
Actually, that does lead to just a quick follow-up question, yeah. If you don't mind. So in putting together the agreement, you've structured it with the 6-month minimum, for lack of a better term, and a 9-month extension, or a 3-month extension to get to 9 months in the event that the person does not find a position in that 6 months. What would happen in the event that they decided to retire in that 6 months? I mean, and I'm wandering around in my brain to figure out if I can ask this question correctly. If, let's say, termination occurred 6 months later, they said, I'm going to stop looking, I'm going to officially retire. Does that trigger the 3 months?
My thinking, and I'll allow the city, ask the city attorney to weigh in, but once an individual quits seeking additional employment, that would make it all null and void.
Okay. Kind of a nuanced thing, I'm sure, as if that was to occur. But.
So for those who are probably wondering what the heck are we talking about, not only severance, this is how it reads. By the city manager, without cause upon giving the police chief with written notice of termination, in the event that the police chief is terminated other than for cause as listed in subsection C, and during such time that the police chief is willing and able to perform his duties under this agreement, then in that event, the city agrees to place the police chief on paid administrative leave for a period up to 6 months or until the police chief secures employment. If after a 6-month period, the police chief has not secured employment, he will receive a lump sum of payment consisting of 3 months of full compensation, including benefits. That's the part that I'm really having some concerns with. So
this is, though, only without cause.
So, I understand.
Right? Only without cause. If there's, if the employment is severed with cause.
No, there is no severance provisions for cause termination.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
I know we already discussed these. This looks pretty standard as opposed to other agreements. I guess going along with just this last reading of it, in my mind, it a little bit discourages the person from, you know, securing that employment within 6 months. I mean, is that your experience or?
No, it's exactly the opposite. You know, very frankly, the person in a position like that, losing their job and having basically 6 months, the PERS provide that in order to continue under the program or plan that our future police chief is under currently, you have to have you cannot have a break of work longer than 6 months. So if you are off of payroll for longer than 6 months, when you return back into a personal position, we would return back at a lower level plan. The current plan for public safety is not as beneficial as the one that Mr. Peters was hired under and has been under for the last 20-some-odd years. In larger organizations, some of the provisions, contract provisions that deal with that issue allow the employee to step down to a lower position until they find a new job, basically protecting their retirement. There would be very, very little incentive for individuals who are not 3 or 4 years from retirement in entering into at-will contracts if they did not have some protections in the event that things don't work out, because their retirement, their life work, 20 years of working in the field, can be very adversely affected if they don't have that protection. So this is a product of negotiation. The sides started much further apart than where we arrived. I think a lot of work has been put into it by both sides and a lot of compromise. It's before you for basically a budgetary approval, we're at your decision.
Thank you. That clarifies it for me.
Okay. So any other questions? Since this is a item that was pulled, it is something that is subject to public comment. Is anyone that would like to speak to the issue before the council?
If I might, Jim Copsey, current chief of police. I have no issues with the contract, but I just want to take the opportunity to thank the council for my 10 years I've been here, 10 and a half. Thank the city manager for his time and effort that he put into this search. It was a difficult process, and I know he battled a lot of things, but I think, in my opinion, came with the right result. You guys have a wonderful candidate. I know John real well, and he will serve this community very well as the next police chief. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. And I think we agree with that. Is there anyone else? Well, I know we agree with that. So, okay, seeing no one else come forward, let me close this to the public, bring it back to the council. So you all know my concerns, but we are a body of five, and so what's the pleasure of the council?
Actually, I appreciate the fact that you brought up the budgetary concern. I do see the merit in the way that the contract was approached as a benefit to the city, kind of keeping the severance as short as palatable from a budget standpoint, with a protection for both the city and the employee. And if there's no other comments, I'm ready to make a motion.
Before you do that, Bob, can you clarify the length of this agreement?
There is no term. It is subject to annual review.
Okay.
I mean, as a part of the performance evaluation.
Okay. So we will have another opportunity to review this annually. Okay. So I think at this point, someone prepared to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. There's a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lee, a second by Council Member Bright, and roll call.
Yes.
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 I am going to vote for the motion. I do support the hiring of the police chief, but I do have some strong concerns regarding the severance, and I think within a year or we'll have more discussion on this. Okay. Motion carries. So let's see, we just took up the pool consent agenda item. Council committee reports. How about Councilmember Shaw?
Let's see. I just had one committee meeting with the Housing Trust Fund. We went over a few projects, exciting projects going on in San Luis Obispo, but the background is confidential, so I can't really share too much because we're just advisory to the board of directors. One issue that took a lot of time in our meeting was just discussing the protocol for how we're going to determine loan limits, because when you're normally working with a bank and two parties partner together, let's say to take a $5,000 loan, each party is credited on paper as if they've taken $5,000. And with the way affordable housing is going now, we won't be able to make any affordable housing without multiple partnerships, especially with organizations like HASLO. And that could get HASLO reaching its loan limit with the Housing Trust Fund way too soon if it were looked at as a typical bank loan. So our feeling at the commission meeting was to advise the board of directors that we would like that to be tallied in a different manner, perhaps by percentage, or perhaps, you know, just 50-50, or on a case-by-case basis, especially when we're dealing with partners that we've dealt with multiple times. So that took up a lot of the meeting, and I know we all saw in our Friday memo from Bob that Bob and I had a very productive meeting with HASLO, just talking about different places that we could put affordable housing in Grover Beach, and they just, their representative, Ken Litzinger, updated me at the Housing Trust Fund meeting that they did drive around Grover after our meeting, and they found some exciting areas that they could possibly either renovate or where they could build, and they're researching some issues, and they're hopefully going to get back to us. So that was exciting. And I think that was the only committee meeting I had.
Okay, very good.
Good work.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes, we had a RAC meeting on May 6th. Unfortunately, there still is no real good news on the reservoirs. They're still below, as everybody knows. One of the things that was pointed out is that the rainfall at Lopez, which is gauged at 28% of normal, there was an equipment malfunction, and it did not recall all rain here at that location, so it may not be quite as dire as the numbers show. The Paso Bond Agent, Paso Basin District, is going before LAFCO application, and the other discussions were simply about integrated regional water management programs. And then as the liaison from CAPSLO to Friends of Prado, I had a meeting there at on the 12th. Basically reviewing how to reinvent themselves in going to the new center that's going to be built, which is going to encompass both Prado and Maxine Lewis Center, and how are things going to be restructured to continue their support. And that's about it.
Okay, very good. Councilmember Bright.
I haven't had any recent meetings. I do have APCD this Thursday in Zone 3. No. Vice versa. Zone 3 this Thursday and APCD next Thursday.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem.
So I have an EVC, or Economic Vitality Corporation, meeting next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. And our own city manager, Mr. Peralt, will be one of the featured speakers at that day. And then the other meeting, I did have an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting this past week, where, in all silliness, they voted me as vice chair. For next year, starting as of July 1st, so I can continue in that capacity. Exactly. So, the big discussion item at this past meeting was waste management gave a presentation along with three proposers for food management and food waste co-generation, effectively as the next means of improving our diversion away from landfills. And so they are moving forward with a program through waste management. Engel and Gray out of Santa Maria They're going to be moving forward to having yellow bins coming into the area for food collection, for scraps and so forth, rather than putting that into the landfill. It'll go into the yard waste composting process, and then that'll go until, at this point, they're looking at 2017 for that, and then transitioning over into a anaerobic experience where it's in completely enclosed, and they create a co-generation facility up in San Luis Obispo near the airport for producing of biogas and then also composting for that. So that's intended to get us to the next level, up to 75%, 90% of our diversion of materials from the landfill. Obviously, there is a long way to go from a permitting and a construction standpoint for the cogeneration facility. But it's as has been our desire and our wants from California standpoint, we are or will be on almost the cutting edge of that technology in this area. So from that perspective.
Very good.
May I ask a question?
You certainly may.
So, Jeff, these yellow bins, will they be mainly commercial?
It will start as commercial because those there's a new, I forget the AB number, but there's a law that was passed in the last session where if you have, I believe it's more than 4,000 cubic yards of material generated per year, then you have to start diverting that, and that will be commercial facilities and restaurants predominantly first. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of ramps down as the last program did as well. So yeah, restaurants would be the first, mm-hmm. the first ones to get the rollout.
Great. Well, I'm always impressed with how innovative our IWMA is. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. So let me just quick report out on the Regional Transit Authority. I believe there was a meeting on May 6th. At that meeting, the board did approve the fiscal year 15-16. Operating budget, and there were not any anomalies or red flag items, so the budget is basically flat. There was some public comment from a local resident who had, recently been terminated from the South County Transit and had raised some issues and concerns, and so I am very concerned. I know that these are employee or personnel matters, but it's probably something, Councilmember Nichols, that we might want to kind of get some more information on if we can. Okay. Regarding the South County Sanitation District, we did have a meeting also on May 6th. You can see it was a busy day. We continue to have really good participation from the public, and the board continues to make progress. We did authorize hiring Knudsen and Associates to do a post-management audit in the amount of $55,000. So that contract was approved, so we are moving forward with that audit. I also wanted to just report out to you that we are still in our negotiation or trying to find a resolution with the state Water Resources Board, so that's something I will have to just keep you updated as we continue to try and bring that to a resolution as soon as we can. And then finally, I may have reported this before, but I know that the board in a previous meeting had authorized $40,000 to study the feasibility of using reclaimed water and treating it at the plant to help out with some of the water issues. And so that's something that has been authorized to move forward. I'll give you an update on that at our next meeting. So we have taken those three specific actions. With respect to the Five Cities Fire Authority, there was a meeting this past Friday. The fire chief presented us with a preliminary budget. I know it wasn't a full budget document, but it did give us a chance as a board to talk about what are the budget assumptions and what are we looking at with respect to the authority. So within that budget, and I'm going to give you some of the just an outline of what was discussed, was There was some talk about the allocation formula that was set previously based on four different factors, and I know one of those was population per community, and I know that the cities, the number is typically adjusted based on Department of Finance numbers on a yearly basis. However, Oceano's is based on 2010 census because there's no one, we're trying to figure out, do they do adjustments for the counties every year, but finding a better way to do that. Some of the other parts of that formula are calls per jurisdiction as well as assessed land value. And so we know that what the effect of that is previously, I believe there was a 45-35-20 split, 45 Aurora Grandy, 35 Grover Beach, and 20 Oceano. And the revisit of the those formulas has tentatively looks like the potential situation is that Aurora Grandy would go to 49%, Grover to like, what, 33%, and then Oceano. And so we know that that is some has gotten the attention of the Arroyo Grande City Council, and I know that that's an ongoing negotiation and discussion, but that was brought up at the board meeting. Other things that were discussed was the sustaining this organization and how do we structurally get balance in an organization, because we certainly are concerned about fatigue and people being fit for duty. And one of the things that has been brought up to us is that there's only one battalion chief. I think that in the short term they had brought in a interim battalion chief that would allow Battalion Chief Heath to have some balance in his life, and certainly looking at how do you bring in additional personnel without breaking the bank to strengthen this organization. So that is something that has been brought up. I think the initial cost for that position was estimated at $175,000. So that is something that will be in the budget. It was not a final budget, just things that have been tentatively identified. The other was the potential increase for the hourly pay for reserve firefighters. As it was presented to us, we pay the lowest to our reserves, and I think Morro Bay pays something on the order of about, I want to say, $14 an hour, and we're about a couple of dollars below that. And so there is some consideration being given with increasing that, because it is starting to hurt recruitment of reserve firefighters. And so that's something the board has said to staff to go and put it in the budget. And then we know that there'll be some discussions before this council and the other councils as well. And then there was also discussion regarding one of the fire apparatus. We have one that is, I believe, in its 20th year, and I know that just from surveying other organizations, they typically have a replacement that goes anywhere between 15 and 20 years. So we are on the high end of that. And so asked staff to put together a budget that looks at those items so that we can have further discussion. And we know that even though it is an independent authority, that basically we have the cities and Oceano as our partners, and so there will be need to be some discussion on what the ultimate budget looks like. So a lot of discussion on Friday, and I believe our next meeting is the third Friday in June. So I believe that will there'll be the full budget will come back then, and I believe there would be some additional discussions in, like I said, at the member agencies or the various cities.
Quick question from that perspective is, it sounds like we will be addressing our budget before we have the fire numbers. So does the city manager have enough information for, based upon that report, to come forward with that line item in our budget?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I will include what the preliminary budget indicated for the city of Grover Beach in your draft budget. That is, just so you know, is 53. That'll be a $53,000 increase, roughly.
Okay.
And the date of the meeting, Mayor, is June 19th.
Great, thank you. So I think the city manager has enough information. I think one of the things that I didn't mention is we, in fact, did discuss reserves that the authority has. And so just trying to look and see what is the tools that are needed and what are some of the funding mechanisms that we can consider in trying to do, certainly sustain this department and do it in a financially responsible way. So I believe that the chief will come and give a presentation prior to adoption of that budget, or at least that's his intention, I believe. So I'll work with him on that and the city manager. Okay? Council communications. Anyone have any communications? Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
I do have a couple, but I wanted to see if the the city manager wanted to respond to anybody from like Mr. Lehman's comments with regards to the dump station can we at least maybe I can make a request that we contact State Parks, and because it is, I believe it is their facility, correct? So we should remind them, see if they want to put up signs to say turn off the water at the dump station.
Or Mr. Mayor, if I can.
Yes, city manager.
First of all, relative to the dump station, they have actually employed some water reduction measures. I can't say to what may have been left on, but they've, as I recall, put new meters out there and actually put some sort of a locking device that normally should have prevented what Mr. Lehman observed, but we can follow up with Parks directly.
Okay, appreciate that. And then just had a couple questions for you with regards to some follow-up with regards to the street projects. So I recall that we had authorized them to go out to bid. I just was wondering what the schedule was for that, for those to come back.
We actually had hoped that they would be out by the 15th. It's a little bit beyond the 15th now. We believe that they will be posted on the website by the end of this week or the first of next week. So that's about a week behind.
Okay, great. And kind of recall, all of the monies for Measure K do go to the residential streets. So kind of a follow-up on Mr. Lehman's question as well. So all those monies are earmarked for the non-commercial streets, I guess I'll call them. But more information in the actual measure itself. Next question, if you could give me a status update on the Phillips 66 encroachment permit and how that relates to the design of Oak Park.
Phillips 66, as the council may recall, will be replacing a major transmission line in Oak Park, and we are attempting to coordinate the construction of that project with our own Oak Park project. The encroachment permit has been reviewed initially by staff, and staff is ready to return it to Phillips 66. I don't think the two have a direct correlation between the design. The actual issuance of the encroachment permit for Phillips 66 will not delay the design.
Okay. So I know Phillips 66 is trying to do that sometime this construction season. So
right.
As long as we're not the holding up party, I guess, is, I'm sure there's a better way to say that, but as long as we're not the ones that are holding that up, that would look bad on the city, I do believe. But a last question with regards to updates is the status of the Digital West broadband network design.
Digital West is nearing the end of the design process. I had some communication with Mr. Williams today. I expect that we will have final design to review on this end within the coming days, and once that's done, then we'll begin working on preparing the bid package.
Okay. Sounds good. So now on to happier questions. So I understand we've got a TIFICOP dinner on Thursday night at the South County Regional Center. I'm not sure if the chief or the incoming chief are within earshot, but I would imagine that there are still tickets available if someone would like to see one of the chiefs with regards to that. I believe there's a 5:30 and a 7:30 seating. 5:30 and 7 o'clock seating at the South County Regional Center. I don't want to steal the rest of the mayor's thunder. I anticipate he's got a couple yeah. items, but the last one, I won't steal them all. With regards to the water summit or the water meeting that we've got on June 8th.
Correct.
I know I've been getting a number of phone calls and letters and emails and so forth. I'm assuming the rest of the council has as well. How would you like us? I'm anticipating that you've probably received all, if not more, than those. How do you want us to communicate the ones that we've received that you may not have?
Well, certainly I think that if you're receiving any independent emails or contacts, it's always helpful for staff to be in that loop. And if you can, please check with us directly or refer the individuals back to staff. I will mention that we are emphasizing with people that have questions or concerns regarding the water shortage program requirements. We are encouraging them to come to the meeting of the 8th. More or less, the way I see that meeting as coming forward, again, it's a special council meeting. Initially, what we'll do is a review with the council the current status of water conditions, which will include an update on both the lake and the groundwater systems. Then we'll talk about progress with the conservation program, what we've been able to achieve, some of the issues we've encountered with it, and then obviously it'll be open for council review as well as public input. So I'd suggest that folks think about attending that meeting on the 8th.
And that is a special start time of 6 o'clock,
6 o'clock.
On June 8th and in these chambers, okay. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and just to add on to that, because I know I've gotten some correspondence, and I think several of them you've been on, this whole issue of these penalties, and I think we're starting to see some of the potential consequences or unintended consequences on that and the effect it may be having. So I think that's something we really need to have a conversation about, a discussion about it. And I know that we had talked about this previously, but not of anything in detail, because I know we understand that everyone's been doing a really great job at conserving water and meeting our goals, and obviously the governor now has established a new goal, but we need to find a balance, because if we're starting to discourage your folks who are owning businesses or looking to consider investing in this community, then we need to figure out, are these penalties too onerous, and is there a better way to go about this, and do we look at reestablishing the benchmark? So the recent correspondence I've got has just kind of renewed my resolve, and that's something we need to look at. I know we had other priorities, streets and whatnot, but I think now is the time to have that conversation. Okay. So the only thing I'm going to bring up, because you did a very good job covering those items, so thank you, and this is for the council. I know on April 28th, Mr. David Stern, who is the owner of the Central Coast Casino, had written us a letter inquiring about the possibility of the council considering an ordinance amendment to change the wagering limits in the city of Grover Beach. I know he had also talked about there was a game called the No Limit Texas Hold'em. We know Mr. Stern has been in this community for many years. He has conducted a very clean business. I don't believe we've had a lot of issues over there, and I'm wondering if the council, if there is a consensus to put this item on a future agenda so that we can have a full discussion of this. City Attorney, do you have something? I see.
Pending council's direction, my recommendation would be if the council is wishing to discuss the issue, that the item to agendize would be just that, an initial discussion before we start drafting ordinances or not drafting okay. ordinances.
Gotcha. So
I agree that we should put it on agenda as soon as we can.
Okay. We're good.
And I would agree with that with maybe a quick question for the city attorney is the way you said that it would be a kind of a broad discussion, or I'm assuming staff would bring back whether this was in conformance with state law, not in conformance with state law, information.
Certain information. Nature. You would formally be able to discuss his letter and potentially take some action on it. We would explain basically some of the consequences or history on this. We probably would bring back Mr. Stern's own testimony when he asked for the things that he has received now with regard to no limit hold'em. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it's agendized, it'll be here for your discussion.
Yeah, and we'll have that conversation, as I understand that it is something in compliance with state law. So, okay. We good over here?
Yeah.
All right. I don't have any other communications. Anything to my left?
I have one thing. I also just wanted to ask Bob or have Bob elaborate a little bit again on the water issue, because I know Mr. Weisong brought up, you know, the onerousness on seniors, possibly with fines dealing with water. And I wanted to reemphasize anybody who's getting any sort of letter should definitely come to the meeting on June 8th. And I think that you shared with us, Bob, that actual fines have been a very small percent.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if I could, just so you know that we have our approach has been to try and work with customers as best we can and educate. Our intent is to do just that, is to actually achieve conservation and not actually fine. But I will tell you that the fining has been running about 1% of our customer base per month. We have 4,700 customers, if you will, and we bill alternate months north and south part of town, and our penalties have been running somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 per month.
I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's a great number, that 99% of the community could adjust to something so different and come together and do it. And I think that's great. So, and the only announcement I had is at Grover Heights Elementary, we're having we're trying a new end of the year fundraiser, and it's going to be at Avila Barn on June 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. So if you've ever wanted to go to Avila Barn at night, there's going to be lights and it's going to be all decorated, open to the public. It's called the Barn Bash, Grover Heights Barn Bash. And there's going to be a huge silent auction. We wanted to really emphasize it be open to the public because I think half the town has donated things for the silent auction. So I know there's going to be Wheel of Fortune tickets if you've ever wanted to sit in the audience. I'll probably get in trouble for announcing that because my parents really want those. But, you know, it's tons of stuff. So 5 to 9 p.m. on June 5th. And the reason I'm announcing it now is because everything's going to be free that night. Music, hay rides, all kinds of stuff. The only thing you have to buy is dinner if you want to eat dinner. And the dinner you have to order by May 29th. And if you just call Grover Heights, you can order dinner in advance. It's $12. You get chicken and all the sides and drinks. Or there's a kid's menu. There's a kid's meal for $10. So. But the ice cream shop will be open. That's it.
All right. So I have two things additional. One of the emails I got recently was from an individual who doesn't even live in Grover Beach, but they live on the border between Arroyo and Grover. It was regarding the condition of a lot on Oak Park, in which there were some weeds and other items that didn't look very good. And so it was a stark contrast as to what was being done in Arroyo Grande from a maintenance standpoint in Grover Beach. So so I spent some of my Sunday, I think, kind of driving around, and I did forward the email to the city manager, and I believe he said he was going to have that taken care of. But one of the things that came out of that is I did start then looking at the median treatments in Grover versus Arroyo along that stretch. I mean, I drive it and bike it often, and so I think at some point, Bob, we'll want to talk about what is our process for weed abatement. And then also I see Larry and Marianne Connor here, friends of Grover Beach, and I'm sure they don't like the fact that I pointed them out, but good to see you both. We know that the Friends of Grover Beach have been really good in supporting our community, and so maybe it's time that we did a better job of utilizing this great resource in our community, because I wasn't just thinking of this section on Oak Park between, and I want to say it was Mentone and Noel, but also when you come up the Oak Park, come up Oak Park from the freeway over by the wall that was put in, it's looking a little unkept. And so, I know that we're maxed, or our resources are certainly being used elsewhere, but if there's a way we can get volunteers and others to help us, I think it may be time to fire up the Grover Beautiful Days or something, but definitely allowing Friends of Grover Beach to help us out, because I have to say it was a bit embarrassing when I got the email and thought, okay, how can we do this from a community standpoint? And then finally, a bit of good news. I'm not all doom and gloom tonight. Amgen Tour came through Grover Beach on May 13th, and I want to say we had a fantastic turnout. For those who were able to participate, thank you very much. We had three banners that said Grover Beach, great place to spread your wings, and one that said welcome to Grover Beach Amgen 2015. And I believe the announcers in the first car stopped in Grover at Grand and Highway 1, and Larry Connor gave them a nice Grover Beach sign or bumper sticker, in which he actually got out of the car and put it on his bumper sticker. So the Grover Beach bumper sticker kind of rode the whole 107-mile race. And I went out and introduced myself. So I just wanted to say it was a really good moment for our community. People turned out to support. Yeah, is that right? Ah, so there. But anyway, thanks to everyone. I think that was great because they started in Pismo Beach, but Grover Beach was the go point, in which the Peloton was basically, by the time they got to us, they were moving pretty good at a pretty good clip. But, I mean, it was pretty exciting. You want to add anything?
Nope.
All right. Sure. Oh, is that right? So what she said is the winner of that leg was the winner overall. Thank you for sharing that. All right. City Manager, do you have any report or comments tonight?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, just a couple. One, I wanted to respond to Mr. Lehman in terms of the work being done on West Grand Avenue Phase 3. West Grand Avenue Phase 3 is actually a part of a grant-funded program or project that actually was earmarked before the ballot measure actually went to a vote. We've been working on that for a very long time, and those grant funds were made available to the city through SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, and to the tune of almost $1 million, with just a very little local sales tax dollars involved, and none of the street bond measure bond proceeds are funding that at all. The first projects that will be funded by the Bond proceeds were those that Mr. Lee alluded to, Brighton and South 7th, as well as Nice. And those are the ones that will be going out to bid within the next couple of days. And finally, Mr. Mayor, just in terms of the medians, we actually are, it's a little slower than we would like, but we do have a program. Part of what you see happening in the median on Oak Park was the removal of some of that landscaping because it was water intense, and we're going to replace that with water drought-tolerant plantings. Mm-hmm. It is on the boards, and it is taking longer than anticipated, but that's the direction we're going with those medians.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a perfect example of trying to put our best foot forward. We talk about the injuries on 4th. Oak Park is heavily traveled, and then I have to admit I drove by the Cleaver property, and so it goes on and on. So we got to just figure out how do we become systematic and address some of these concerns. But anyway, okay, City Attorney.
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good. And we are going into closed session tonight. Can you cover those two items, City Attorney?
It's the intent of the council to meet in closed session on two items. One is the existing litigation, the Santa Maria Valley water litigation. The other is employee evaluation for the city manager.
Okay, very good. And so with that, we are going to recess into closed session.